This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
10 minutes after 5 o'clock, Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. How are you? Here's Brian Wheeler. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
What is that on your shirt?
I wasn't quite ready for
that. That's not an alligator, Lacoste. What is that, though? I've never seen that. Is that like a sport?
It's called Under Armour. It's the logo.
Okay.
Under Armour.
There you go.
It's a nice shirt. I'm now an official sponsor of Under Armour. Please send the check, too.
It's a nice shirt. It looks like a coach's shirt.
Thank you.
You look like you're about to yell at some players.
I'm always trying to look athletic, even if I can't be.
Speaking of looking athletic, let's talk about pie.
That's what I'd rather do, Coy.
Indeed.
I'd rather run to the next pie.
I tell you, Brian, every other person I talk to says, I listen to your show. I listen every afternoon. And my favorites are when you and Brian Wheeler talk about pie. Just love that.
We got a good thing going here. And I put on my Facebook status that I was getting ready for your show. And I said, I feel like we're going to need to talk about pie. And I already got a couple comments on my Facebook status. So people are watching through Facebook.
You're into Facebook now, aren't you? I remember a few short weeks ago you were like,
I was very skeptical. I'm still in the experimental stage. I'm not.
It's a lot of fun though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not like those. Some people they update all the time. I'm walking to the kitchen. I'm back from the kitchen. I mean, they tell you everything that's going on in their life.
I just save it for the important things like coming to talk to you and talk about
There you go. I like the sound of that.
So I got an email this morning from via some students at Western Albemarle High School, and they are doing a good thing. They're going on a youth mission trip to Honduras.
Ooh.
But the pie tie-in is that to help pay for the trip, they're having a pie auction.
Aha.
And the auction's going to be this Saturday, May 16th.
Hope they got a lot of pies.
At Olivet Presbyterian Church, which is out Garth Road.
Yeah, I know where that is.
And so if the public is interested, starting at 3:30 on Saturday, May 16th, there'll be games, pony rides, slow-cooked barbecue. You got to like
that. Ooh, now this all sounds good.
Dinner is at 5 o'clock, followed by the pie auction at 6 o'clock p.m.
Are you hosting that?
That's all this
Are
Saturday.
You the MC of pie?
I'm not, but I've got to go now.
They should have us out there.
I've never been to a pie auction.
They should. You should call it.
I feel like I'm the expert.
You're so Mr. Pie.
I know.
Yeah. You should be there up on the hay wagon saying, and now we got Miss Johnson's
that's
cherry
a great
pie.
Idea. I hope they're listening, Coy. Maybe they'll take you up on that.
Mr. Pie. Brian.
So anyway.
When
students,
is this Saturday?
Students doing a good youth mission. They're trying to raise some money.
Oh, yeah.
This
Let's
Saturday,
support
May 16th, Olivet Presbyterian Church. And
starts at when?
Starts at 3:30, all the fun and games. Dinner's at 5, pie auction, 6 o'clock p.m.
So they're going to have lots of pies, and you bid on the pies, and the money raised is going to send these kids down to Honduras to do some good work. So that's a great thing. Yeah. Let's get out there and support them.
So a little Saturday. Plug for them.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff. Hey, before we get started, those bricks are almost done on the mall.
They're done. What do you mean almost done?
Well, I haven't been down there.
They're
I just
done.
Heard they were almost done.
But getting ready for last week's show, I guess we never got to it. Before the show, I put on my Facebook status.
I read it.
I'm walking up and down the mall, checking it out for Coy.
Yeah.
And they're done, except for this little spot in front of the Omni Hotel, the ice rink.
No, that's ahead of schedule, isn't it?
They were on schedule and under budget, and it looks great.
That's amazing. Of course, they could have just replaced the broken bricks.
I was the biggest skeptic about the schedule.
You thought it was too ambitious?
And, oh, yeah. I thought they were going to find all sorts of cracks and crevices.
Well, whoever did this job, whatever company that was.
Yep, Barton Marlowe did it.
They should stay around.
And, I ran into Jim Tolbert on the mall the other day, and I said, Jim, it looks great. Congratulations. He's the head of Network Development Services.
Barton Marlowe, didn't they? They did JPA, didn't they?
JPJ? Yep. They did.
Yeah. Wow. Way to go, Barton Mallow. Very, very nice. And now we got a big, new, beautiful mall.
It is beautiful. So get down there.
And are they taking the trees out? What's the latest on that?
They've planted some new trees. They removed a couple that they needed to. They've planted some new ones. But the big ones, no. It's not like they're going to clear cut those or anything.
Yeah.
They will. They're going to have a rotation schedule, I think, where they're going to rotate ones out that they think are near the end of their life.
I gotcha.
And do it over time. But
because that's one of the nicest things about the mall.
And they took the barricades down in front of the Landmark Hotel, so now you can sort of see into the skeleton from ground level, which I like.
Ah, you can get right up close to our monument to the economy.
And pretty soon we're going to see the weeds growing in there, and it's just going to be really interesting.
It's going to
see what grows in that little terrarium back there.
It might be the kind of thing that come Halloween we could make use of.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I said Festival of the Photo. You know, you just deck the whole thing out with
what's going to happen
jumbo photos.
Really, what's going to happen to that, you think?
I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, is it just going to...
It's in the courts for now.
Is it really?
Yep.
So does the guy that was building the thing, does he still own it or has he lost it?
Well, isn't the... I mean, I've only been skimming those articles, but I thought it was a bank that owned it, and now the bank has been taken over by the FDIC.
Oh, Lord.
So... It went from worse to worser.
Oh, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we get back, the latest on city and county politics and the elections this year. You're listening to Charlottesville right now.
Last night on the best seat in the House, Brandon Albert of the Kansas City Chiefs joined us.
You know, we got the nickname the Talker Fatty.
Times wants and the far left want. They want to break down the white Christian male power structure, of which part, and so am I. And they want to bring in millions of foreign nationals to basically break down the structure that we have.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
It's me, Eternity. Hey.
18 minutes after 5 p.m. in Central Virginia. It's about 67 lovely degrees. I'm Coy Barefoot. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy Tuesday. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. And Mimi, thank you so much for holding. Mimi is on line one. You're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Well, hi. I just thought that, you know, the hotel that's unfinished?
Yeah, on the downtown mall.
Yeah. I think they should put a sign up that says Art in Place. That looks about as good as some of the Art in Place.
Oh, now some of that whale tail is amazing. That was really, really impressive, that whale tail. But
I have seen stuff on the sides of, you know, there was one thing on... in front of the Barracks Road Shopping Center that looked like a car accident. I've seen stuff that looks like earthquake damage. And I think they should put a sign up and let everybody think of it as art.
Maybe they should, Mimi, thanks for calling, maybe they should have voting for the Art in Place projects. You know, as to how long a piece stays in place.
Yeah.
Maybe the public should get to, you know, go to a website and vote.
I'm like anybody else looking at art. Some of it, I agree with Mimi. I've looked at it and I've thought, oh my God, how did that get there? But other stuff like that whale tail, I went out there and talked to the guy when he was working on it. That is beautiful. If you look at it up close, the woodworking he did, that's incredible. So, you know, I guess it's art, man.
In the eye of the beholder.
In the eye of the beholder, you never know.
But, you know, the Landmark Hotel, you know, that is definitely, people have put signs on it, up on it recently. They've been taped up on the glass down there, and they haven't been too kind.
Really?
Yes.
So it's become sort of a free speech monument.
Briefly, before the obscene signs were removed related to Halsey Minor. So,
Ouch. Oh, man. Mimi, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Oh, there she goes. 977-1070. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. So.
Speaking of votes.
Yes. Were you surprised and or shocked that Julian Taliaferro was not renominated for city council?
You know, I didn't know what was going to happen in that race. We sat, Sean Tubbs on my staff, he and I camped out at Burley Middle School all day long.
Did you have a tent?
We did.
Did you have a thermos?
We did not.
A lantern?
We had water bottles.
Oh,
we should have brought a lantern because it was dark by the time we left. But we were there till 8:30 when they finally called it.
Yeah.
And but it was a good day. It was, you know, it's fun to see people engaged in democracy.
I love election days. Yeah.
And this time, you know, I wasn't running, so I could just sit there and sort of enjoy the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But we sat there and watched all the voters coming in. And, you know, what's one of the interesting dynamics, Coy, was with the sheriff's race, which Charlottesville Tomorrow does not cover. But whenever you have a sheriff's race, my observation is in the county and now the city, that brings out a lot of people very motivated to support a particular sheriff's candidate. And they may not have thought so much about the rest of the ballot, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that was the case in the city, because I think people had pretty clear views on their city council candidates. But in the county, for example, if you're running for school board and there's a sheriff's race, the people that come out and vote for sheriff may not be thinking about school board, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah. Or but people anyway. Coming out for school board might not be thinking of sheriff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was an interesting dynamic. And then you had this... where the voters were confronted with two new things. One, this whole new process where you had a whole day to go vote, as opposed to having the closed caucus, you know, mass meeting that you had to sit at for a couple hours.
How do you think that worked? Was that an improvement?
It seems to have been a great success. Everyone is very happy about it. The party leaders that were there were pinching themselves that they had, you know, 1,650 ballots cast. And
so it was a good turnout, in other words.
It was a good turnout. By comparison, the last time they did this, there were 426 ballots at the mass meeting. So 426 versus...
So over three times as many people showed up to express an interest in the Democratic nominees.
And we were sort of grabbing people off the sidewalk and saying, you know, what do you think about this? We put some of those interviews in a podcast. We did a, you know, 15, 18-minute piece of interviews. We interviewed David Repass, who was the head teller.
Sure, yeah.
And he explained, you know, before he had to go behind closed doors with the ballot boxes, he explained that process. And one of the questions I, you know, asked him about was, you know, how have you done this in the past? And he said, well, we've never done this in the past. You know, we've never done it quite this way because we've never had an unassembled caucus before or a firehouse primary. In fact, our story got picked up on Google News, and some people up in Maryland contacted me. They work for a nonprofit up there that tracks voting issues, and it's called fairvote.org. And they called up and they said, you know, Mr. Wheeler, did you know that Charlottesville is one of the only places in the country to do a instant runoff like what was done by the Charlottesville Democrats? And I said, no, I had no idea. So apparently we are, though. And this instant runoff phenomenon is the other thing that was new facing the voters. So as you came in, you didn't just have a ballot and for each race you pick one candidate. For city council, for example, you could vote for up to three. All three candidates,
but you had
to rank them in order.
Yeah,
and that's something most voters haven't encountered.
That's
before.
Actually very popular around the world. America is one of the places that they still don't do that, but the rest of the world is doing that.
But apparently, it's very unusual for a multi-seat race to do an instant runoff.
Instant runoff means you rank the candidates.
You rank the candidates going in, and then as they're being counted, if the candidates don't have 50%. A majority vote, then you do a runoff. So the reason you would do an instant runoff is to avoid having another election another day to
right.
do the runoff election.
You can still use the ballot you have. Yeah.
Still use the ballot you have because you've got the preference out of the voters as to who their second choice was.
And those preference, as I looked at it, in every single voting district from folks across the city, it was 1, 2, 3, Norris, Zekas, Talaferro in every district.
I didn't look at it that way, but I believe you. what the bottom line votes are, it was 80.5% for Norris, 61% for Zekas, and 43% for Talaferro. And those are called precinct votes, those percentages I just gave. That's another interesting twist in the Charlottesville Democratic approach is it's not a one-man, one-vote system.
Or one woman.
Or one woman.
Yes.
One person, one vote.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way. It's more like the Electoral College. Precincts get a certain ranking of a certain allocation of votes. So there's 8 precincts in the city.
Yeah.
They get a different weighting as to how many people have participated in past Democratic elections in that precinct. So you sort of get a number of, you get an allotment based on how much participation there's been in your precinct, and that goes into the final decision. So what's interesting about this
is... Now, this is getting confusing to me.
Okay.
And because it's confusing, it's like I'm smelling like there's something wrong with it, you know, because voting should not be confusing.
Okay, well,
it should be just like, you vote.
Let me allay your concerns, because in the end, it didn't make any difference at all. It didn't make
it
any
didn't
difference.
Matter.
The instant runoff was never invoked for the city council race. It was, interestingly, for the sheriff race.
Okay.
But anyway, this precinct allocation formula didn't make a difference. If you just took the raw percentages of the votes allocated, It basically worked out to be the same.
But are they going to do this again?
Well, they've done it for a long time.
Because the idea is that in one person's vote in one precinct counts more than somebody's vote in another precinct.
And the reason, this is from David Repass, the head teller, he said the reason they do this is so that certain precincts don't dominate or overshadow smaller or less politically active precincts in the nominating process. So they're trying to level the playing field.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
By accounting for different levels of participation.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to
simplify it there, but
yeah.
But anyway, it didn't really come into play. The end result was the same. Norris was the big winner.
Norris was the runaway winner,
and Chris Zekas as the challenger defeated, you know, Julian Taliaferro, who was running for re-election. And the other interesting thing about this, I'd have to think about how often this happens, but it's not very often that we have a local incumbent who knows this early in a calendar year that they won't be, you know, in office next year, unless they've decided not to run, right?
Yeah, because he's in office till what, January of next year?
Till December 31st.
Till the end of the calendar year, yeah. And it's just May.
Yeah. So that's sort of another interesting...
So he still has a long time to serve.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can do a whole lot of good.
And Taliaferro, you know, based on the statements I've seen him make in the course of the campaign and over his time on council, I know he definitely wants to listen to the public. I mean, it's not like he's done serving, so
yeah.
You're right. He still wants to be very engaged.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville. Tomorrow we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of a break for local news and weather. We'll get all the details on the elections in the county for the nominees for the County Board of Supervisors coming up in just a few minutes. 8 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy, happy Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Charlottesville right now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Talk a little growth development and local politics. And go ahead.
I got a funny story.
See, I appreciate a funny story.
Okay. Well, I think it's funny. So, you know, we try to cover these events, you know, wall to wall. So we're at the Democratic caucus in the city.
Yes.
And, you know, we're staying there all day. We're taking pictures all day long. I need to put up a slideshow. But I kept saying to the organizers, I need to photograph the ballot boxes being opened, you know, because that's sort of, you know, a big deal.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's what, yeah.
And, you know, they were like, oh, we don't know if we can let you back there.
You might try to cheat.
And then they're like, okay, we'll check with people and we'll get back to you. And so finally, they let me in.
Yeah.
And I'm taking pictures of David Repass slicing open the first box. And he's walking it over, and then the two people counting the ballots are pulling them out one by one. And finally...
Hanging, you know, chads and everything.
Well, and, you know, Lloyd Snook, who was in there observing and was the chair of the caucus, Lloyd knew I wanted the picture of the ballots, you know, falling out of the box. I wanted a good photographic moment here.
Yeah, pouring them out on the
exactly,
table.
Right. Yeah. So Lloyd's like, just dump the box on the table so Brian can take a picture. So they dump it on the table. I take a picture, and then the ballots start flying everywhere. And they're like, oh, great. You know, that's why we don't let photographers back here.
They're all over the floor, and the chads are everywhere.
But I did get the picture, and it's on our website.
Oh, very sweet. So there was also some elections in the county as well, right?
There were. And so the county did their process a little differently. They had the mass meeting style caucus, and that was the county Democrats.
Old school.
Old school last night. They've done it for that way for quite a while. But they did it for the Samuel Miller district because they had two Democrats vying for the nomination to replace Sally Thomas, who's retiring at the end of the year.
Where and who is Samuel Miller?
Samuel Miller is in the western part of the county. It's like Ivy down south to the Nelson County line.
Ooh, big one.
North Garden, Batesville.
Gotcha.
Places like that.
Do you know who Sam Miller is?
No, but I'll come back to, I do, but we'll come back to Samuel Miller because I want to bring that up in my next story about Civilpedia. But anyway, Madison Cummings was vying for the nomination against Lucia Finney. So I mentioned that there were 1,600 people voting in the city of Charlottesville. So in this race for the Samuel Miller district, it was the vote tally was 69 to 48.
That's so all?
So Madison Cummings got the nomination by a 21-vote margin. 69.
What is that, 130 people?
117, I think.
117 people voted in the entire district for that nominee?
Samuel Miller for that nominee.
That's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
So you look at what the city Democrats were able to do by opening up the process, having it be all day. It's a lot of work, but, you know, they got more people involved.
A lot more.
So just a quick comparison there. So Madison Cummings was successful.
He's a former school board guy, right?
Former school board member. He's vice chair of the school board, was on the board for 8 years. Sally Thomas appointed him to the board for his first term. He got elected for his second term when it was an elected office. And so he will face John Lowry, who's running as an independent at this point. So that will be a contested race in the November election. And, you know, they both gave speeches. David Slutsky also announced last week, Wednesday after our show, David Slutsky announced he was running for re-election. He got the nomination, no surprise, because nobody else was trying to get it in the Rio District as a Democrat. Mr. Slutsky will face Rodney Thomas, who's running as the Republican.
Yep.
So in the county, you know, things are shaping up as well.
That's going to be an interesting race to watch, I tell
you.
And
now the race is from now till June 9th, because that's when independents have a deadline, whether they get on the ballot. So for any of these races we talk about, for Board of Supervisors or City Council, independents can still run. The county Republicans are going to have their mass meeting on May 26th. County Republicans will meet at McIntyre Park at 6:30 p.m. So that's May 26th, County Republicans. Now, right now, the only county Republican we know about that's running is Rodney Thomas. So they may have a very simple event. They just anoint him as their candidate.
Right.
And then they may not run anybody else. We'll see. Dennis Rooker, running as an independent in Jack Jewett, currently does not have an opponent, but has a boatload of money, $65,000 cash on hand.
Where'd that come from?
An amount unprecedented in
these
county supervisor races.
Holy cow. Dennis Rooker? What's he going to do with that money?
Well, I don't. I guess
he's got to have a barbecue.
He's trying to show any potential opponent that you know, he's prepared to spend big to save that seat.
Wow, that's interesting. So tell us about Sievelpedia, and then we got to get out of here because Jay James is standing by to bring us a little baseball tonight. VCU at Davenport Field tonight.
Quick plug for our new website called Sievelpedia.org. That's Sievelpedia.org.
Like Wikipedia, Brian?
Like Wikipedia. And you may have heard of Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia.
I go there every day.
We've decided to create a local version because the hyper-local content, they don't always like to have up there unless it's really relevant to the rest of the world. You can have articles about, you know, things like Charlottesville and Albemarle.
Or Monticello,
the big things. We're trying to delve into the local content and color of our community. The great thing about this, Coy, is it's wide open. There's an article about you.
What?
In Sievelpedia. Check
what?
It out. And if you don't like
You're it. Kidding. I didn't know that.
You don't like it? You know, you hit
There's
edit.
No reason for that. We don't have to have
hit
that.
Edit. If you don't like something or you want to add something, you just edit it and we're going to take all the community's knowledge and.
So it's Sievelpedia.org.
O-R-G.
Org. And anybody, it's like Wikipedia, except it's all about Central Virginia, Charlottesville, and Albemarle.
Right now, you know, it's pretty small. It only has 400-something articles. We're going to build it out.
But anybody can contribute to it,
can contribute, and we welcome all contributors. There's some style guidelines we'll ask that you follow, and we'll try to enforce it and keep it objective and neutral and fact-based. But we hope the community will contribute all the history.
Like write in English, please, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and the proprietor at Sievelpedia.org. Check it out. We're going to break here now to bring you Jay James is standing by with Best Seat in the House. And then baseball tonight, VCU versus UVA at Davenport Field. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.